The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
With me is Peter Finn, better known as Pete the Builder, which means any questions that you have, Pete can field. Like, for instance, how can you put in a lighted mirror on a wall over a sink in the bathroom? We'll get to that in a minute. Before that, if you're looking, we had a question about DIY jobs to do with the kids. I assume, given the weekend that's in it, nailing Halloween decorations to walls is the way to go.
Absolutely, Anton. Yeah, the good thing about Halloween is that you can be as rough as you like and it still looks great, you know. So, you know, any
That's true, actually, because at Christmas, it has to have a certain polish to it.
You have to get Christmas right. If you get Christmas wrong, now Santa's not happy. So at Halloween, though, it's okay. You know, it has to look like a bit of a junkyard vibe. So you can take any type of palette that you have got around an elf football and put a mask on his face. Try and make it a bit interactive. So some really simple, cool stuff that you can pick up in any of the, you know, the home stores, I suppose you call them, where, you know, you can get smoke machines and things like that that can create something really cool, especially in the twilight as well, as it's very forgiving. So I would say anybody that's out there looking for something to do over the next day or two, go out there to that part of the garden where there's a few bits and pieces left that you've been promising yourself you throw them in the skip, and then reuse them. Bring them out the front, stick a pumpkin in the middle, and get a bit of creation going.
I don't want to sound too much like an old fart, Pete, but praise myself. When did Halloween turn into this? I remember Halloween as being a one-day thing. You stuck your face in a bucket of water, you hoped for an apple, you went home. When did this become a three-week extravaganza?
Well, I'm no historian, but you know, I've seen a few things there online recently there where...
Are you going back to the Middle Ages?
Yeah, it was mine and your ancestors that caused all of this way back in the day. But
even then, it was just they carved a turnip for one afternoon and then they got on with their life. It didn't take the whole month.
But then we went to a place called America, and I don't know if you know anything about America, but they like to do the razzmatazz, and that's why we've got lots of stuff going on now. And look, I'm going to be honest, I can really see in the last while that Halloween is an event now. And like my own kids, I have three young kids. I got my beautiful daughter, Misha, waiting outside for me, actually. But like we have like been talking about Halloween for the last month, you know, and the girls have been in loads of stuff at home and bringing them home and talking about what they're going to get dressed up. So they've got about five different costumes now. Back in the day, it used to be, you know, you were lucky to get an old plastic mask and something like that. And now it's three different costumes for the four or five different events they're going to go to. But it is pretty cool. And I have to say, it's a very creative time. And again, getting back to what I do, you know, I think it's an opportunity for people to try a bit of simple DIY that you can get away with any sort of stuff.
Text now asking about that lighted mirror. I need a lighted mirror on a wall over the sink in the bathroom. The wall is plastered external block. The space to locate the mirror is approximately 1.7 meters wide by 1.5 meters high. There is a downlight on the ceiling. Cutting a channel downlight to mirror will be very messy. Any ideas to control mess? Alternative is a battery powered mirror, but I see only small mirrors for sale. Help.
Yes, the ultimate conundrum. So what happens is in bathrooms, and I often come across this when we're doing projects where we could do a complete bathroom renovation, and you talk about the space of the tiles, you talk about everything, and then the client comes in at the end and goes, here's the mirror, and you go, this mirror is electric, and then they go, yes, sure, that's what it always was, and I go, well, neither you nor the designer nor nobody else told me this. Yeah, so we've no power in that position. Now, that doesn't happen recently because I went off it, but it's the old conundrum. So yes, you do have to get a power source from a local area. Again, it depends on if it needs to be switched or not as well. So my advice to you is try and think in advance. And if that person can get an electrician to come in and give them some advice in advance and maybe leave a section of cable with them, they can do the hard work then of cutting the channel and getting to whatever the nearest light source may be. If you're going
to be a mess no matter what you do, if you're going to have to channel an external wall, it's going to be a mess.
Yeah, but the mirror will cover up quite a lot of it, so you just have to be careful. So, you know, you basically cut your channel up and you don't have to go mad deep either. You can go, you know, 20, 30 mil, put a conduit into it and then cover it over. Look, it happens all the time. It can be done. But thinking in advance, if you are doing an overall project on little items like that, is a big thing to do. The battery operated ones are getting a lot better as well, I have to say. So the last thing I would say on that as well is you have to make sure, and usually if it's a mirror, it will be already, but it has to be the right code for a bathroom. You can't just stick any light in as well. You know, you have to be careful to make sure that it's up to the right regs.
Yeah, because the mirror, I assume you can take power from, you can take it from the light in the ceiling. It doesn't have to be through a separate, what's the separating transformer?
Usually a transformer. But look, again, I would always say when it comes to electricity, you need to get advice. It's not something that I would DIY. I would make sure that
killed plumbing.
Well, you never know. Gas is dangerous enough as well, so stay away from that.
Beck saying, I have damp patches on my bathroom ceiling. There's now some bubbling appearing on the wall. Is there anything I can do or do I need outside help?
Yeah, outside help is exactly what you need. You need ventilation because it sounds like there's not enough ventilation in the room. So the damp patches will be caused by two things. Most likely it's condensation. So when you have a shower or you have a bath, the steam is rising. And what will steam do? It will go to the coldest spot and will hit that spot. Usually it's the corners of the room that it hits. So you can do two things. And I always say this, ventilate and insulate. So if you insulate the area above in the ceiling and if you ventilate, you will remove your condensation. So for the short term though, wash it down and put on a mold stop paint or a good blocker paint, and you know you will get away with that for a while, but it's obvious that the room needs more ventilation.
So the insulation is it just keeps the ceiling that bit warmer, so you don't get as much of the condensation when it hits the cold of the ceiling.
Yeah, so like when the kettle is boiling, the steam rises and will hit the cold tile, and you immediately see the droplets. So it's condensation. So heat rising in a room will always find the coldest spot. And when that happens, it happens microscopically all the time, and you don't see it, and you don't see it, and you don't see it. And then all of a sudden, you walk in on Tuesday, and you go, "Where did that black spot come from?" So it's something that kind of just keeps on happening on a sort of a small regular basis, and you eliminate it by making sure you've got full and true insulation behind, and then ventilation is key.
How do you drill a porcelain tile? Asks a text.
Very carefully. That's how you drill it. First of all, get the right tools. Second of all, get the right drill bit. And then third of all, take your time. Make sure it's not on hammer action and slowly start, get a good solid starting point. Make sure that the tile has got a good solid base below it. If you're trying to drill something and it's rocking, there's a very, very good chance you're going to break it. And porcelain has got a much stronger structure or is a much stronger kind of a build up than a standard ceramic tile. With ceramic tiles, once you get through the ceramic on the outside, you literally fly through the rest of it. But with a porcelain tile, it's porcelain the whole way through, so you have to be careful. Good drill bit. Good.
That's critical. Don't scrimp on the drill. This is not a place 100%. To save. Get the absolute best you can get hold of.
Yeah, and every tiler in the country is out there listening going, oh, that porcelain stuff is very hard on, and it is. It's very hard on drill bits and stuff like that, so you have to be careful. So you may have to use a couple of drill bits especially if you've got several holes to drill.
Bit of masking tape to help stick it?
Yeah, the masking tape trick is the idea of that is to stop it from kind of sliding on you when you're starting. It's really to get the start. So it's like anything, once you get a good, once you get the point of the drill bit moving, you kind of have a point that will hold then the fulcrum of the whole thing. Do you like that?
Oh, very impressive.
Absolutely.
Very impressive.
But then it's all
I like
about
your hammer drill point as well. I'd say that's a lesson you learned the hard way.
The amount of people that you see, you give the apprentice drill that there and it can, oh no.
Text to say, as autumn is beginning, what do I need to do with radiators that haven't been used since April? Now, you see, I have a theory that is undoubtedly wrong. I'm suspect about this whole maintaining the whole heating system. I think it'll be fine if you leave it entirely on its own. Am I wrong?
Well, history proves you're absolutely wrong. No, it's like anything. It's like if you leave the car in the driveway for 6 months and then you go out and you expect it to run perfectly. It's not going to, like, you know.
Sometimes it does.
Sometimes it does. It does. It does. It does. But the more regular you use it, any kind of an engine or any kind of a boiler, obviously the more likely it is. I said this to you last time I was in. I recommended everyone to get their boiler serviced while the plumbers weren't too busy.
Oh, that's right, you did. Well, they were still good.
And nobody's done it, but that's okay. All the plumbers are getting phone calls now.
Plumbers do during August.
They're very busy, very hard to get at the moment. But my advice is, yes, I'm sure the heating system has probably been turned on over the last few weeks, but turn the heating system on, go around and just put your hand, if it's a radiator system, put your hand on the top of the radiator and the bottom of the radiator. A lot of the time it can be something as simple as air is in the system and there's a little mechanism or some, the newer rads is like a little screw, and then in the older ones it's like a little Allen key, and of course it's called bleeding the radiator. So you open it up and you hear that hissing sound, and it'll keep on going and going and going, and basically what's happening there is the heating system is topping up, the water is rising in the radiator, and then eventually a little squirt of water will come out of the top of the radiator, tighten it up onto the next room.
Now this is another one where undoubtedly I'm wrong, but I have a theory. I have been told that you shouldn't do that when the central heating pump is running because it can introduce air to the system. I don't believe this and I don't see how it could happen. Am I wrong again?
No, you're never wrong, Anton.
Thanks, Pete. Yeah. Record this. I need it for posterity.
The truth of heating systems is that there is, especially in the older systems, there is honestly 100 ways to plumb the same house, and every plumber will come in and do it his own way. And there's open systems, there's closed systems, there's pressurized systems, there's loads of different things. And a really good traditional plumber will know all of those hundreds of systems and will come in and he'll have a look at it. And he basically is like a doctor coming in and having a look at the system, and then he can diagnose the problem. Whereas people like myself and yourself and Tom will come in and we'll have two or three fixes, and if they don't work, that's it, you know. So I don't think you're wrong, but you might not be right either.
This is like, what's the line about punk, that three chords are showing off?
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
If it doesn't work, just paint it. Another question, what are the biggest problems that home sellers run into if they're doing renovations to flip the house? Under pressure time, so give us top one off your head.
Don't go crazy spending a load of money. Clear it out, paint it. Let the people who are buying the house do the renovations. You don't renovate a home and you're selling it. You present it as well as you can and you let the homeowner do the renovation, because they most likely will rip out that most expensive thing that you've just done.
And presumably paint goes a long way.
Absolutely. It's about light. It's about presentation. You know, air the place, put a bit of brown bread in the oven and you'll sell the house straight away.
Put brown bread in the oven?
Oh, gorgeous smell when you walk in. You're like, ooh, yeah.
Does that work?
It smells like granny's kitchen. Yeah, let's buy this house.
Genius. Pete, always a revelation. Peter Finn, better known as Pete the Builder. And any questions we didn't get to, we will hold them. And the next time Pete is in, we will try to get to them.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.